Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's one thing to go hungry. Intermittent fasting is quite the rage these days. But that is not the same as suffering from literal starvation and dying for a lack of food to eat or for life to move on. This is what faced the people of Egypt and all the surrounding nations, including the family of Jacob, also known as Israel by this time in the story of Genesis. As you might recall, this was the fulfillment of the dreams which Pharaoh had and that Joseph had interpreted with the help of the Lord. There would be 7 great years of harvests, but following there would be 7 years of severe famine. The Lord gave wisdom to Joseph, who then advised Pharaoh to get storehouses set up to make it through these extremely bad years. And all of it came to pass. The harvest came, the famine came, and the people started to go hungry. They were starving to death. Who is the bread giver? The people moaned and groaned under the suffering. And Pharaoh sent them to Joseph. Pharaoh entrusted the job of distributing the grain to Joseph, seeing him to be the wise man concerning this important and extremely delicate situation. You might call Joseph the bread giver. And man, did the people flock to him. The Egyptians paid for grain, first with their money, then with livestock, and following that, all their land, and finally their own lives. They became servants of Pharaoh. And for all of this, they were thankful. They were thankful to still be alive. And gave thanks, they did. They said, even to Joseph, "You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants of Pharaoh." No animosity, no grumbling, no moaning. They simply gave thanks that they were still alive. And they gave thanks for the bread giver, Joseph. And the people from all the surrounding nations also were saved in similar fashion. Egypt, through the preparations of Joseph, had bread to give. And so all the nations were saved, even the Israelites. And the tragic events of selling Joseph into slavery was now being seen in a completely new light and would be seen even by the brothers soon enough. Joseph was sent ahead by God to save the peoples. And thus, the messianic line that was to come from Judah was preserved too, as the sons of Jacob came to receive their bread. Jesus would come. Jesus would save. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus that we are saved. Our lives have been preserved, restored, resurrected by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the true bread giver, the one who grants us bread, the one who grants us the bread of life, the true bread that comes from heaven. Now, it's true that the people of Egypt paid for the grain, but funny enough, the people of God did not. You see, Joseph always returned the money with which the sons of Jacob tried to pay. You might remember some of those stories where they go home and they realize that not only did they have the grain, but they had the money back in their bag. The money sack was still full. And their father Jacob was very mad and very concerned and afraid. The Egyptians gave their money, their livestock, their land, and then their lives to to receive that bread. But the sons of Israel wound up giving nothing for it. They got to keep their money, their livestock, and their lives, and nothing was required to receive the bread. Now, those who think they can buy the bread of life ultimately perish in unbelief. The Egyptians who bought that bread would be the same families who would see in later generations their firstborns die on that fateful Passover night. They would die under the judgment of unbelief and hardness of heart towards the words of the Lord. Jesus, you see, the true bread giver, requires no payment for the gift of life. For there is nothing that we can pay to give for our salvation. Instead, the true bread of life gives himself. It is he who makes the payment in our place. He is the payment. For he gives himself on the cross, and now also he gives himself in the blessed sacrament, that we might have his forgiveness and his life for ours. We were helpless, wandering in the wilderness of sin and death, struggling with, hungering for righteousness, thirsting for salvation. We were without bread and water. All we had was despair. We were dead. Our land was dead. Our world dead, for we had no grain, no bread for life. The people of Egypt and all the peoples of the world that sought grain paid for it under Joseph. But in Christ Jesus, we see a great reversal. We see the one who is the true bread making the payment. Just as Joseph returned the payment of his brothers, so also Christ's reject all of our offers to set the bill straight. All of our offers are insufficient anyway. There's only one payment that is sufficient for sin, and that is the blood of Jesus himself, the very blood of God. His actions on the cross reveal himself and who he is. He's the one who died that you and I would live. Jesus proclaimed that he is the true bread of life. At the cross, we see the lengths that he would go for us to have that bread. Jesus is still the bread of life, who gave himself and still gives his own body and blood to us, in, with, and under the bread and the wine of the sacrament. Hunger no more, thirst no more, but find your life in and through the bread of life. For those who eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man shall have eternal life. Just as Joseph provided the grain that saved the people, so also our Lord Jesus provides the bread of life that saves the world and now opens the gate to paradise. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.